night in Yemen are clearly designed to send a message to Iran about what could happen if they continue to back these strikes by the Houthis, by other rebels who are based in Iran, based in Iraq, based in Syria, against the United States and its allies.
President Biden's son, Hunter, has been arraigned in federal court in Los Angeles on 9 tax fraud charges. He has pleaded not guilty. CBS's Scott McFarlane points out,
his not guilty plea sets up a process. The federal court works slowly. You measure it by months and years, not by days and weeks. So this is a long haul prosecution potentially in California.
Also in court today on the opposite coast, former President Trump. He tried to get the last word in at closing arguments for his company's New York civil fraud trial, but the judge shut him down. CBS's Robert Costa says this could be a big hit to Trump's company.
For Trump to not be able to build in Manhattan, build in Brooklyn or the Bronx anymore would be such a difference for Trump, something he hasn't ever really had to deal with as a businessman, even though he has faced enormous legal headaches before. And he could have a penalty of about $200 to $300 million leveled against him and his company should the judge decide to move in that direction.
Cold weather in California is prompting some cities to open warming centers for the homeless. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
Ice-covered windshields are an inconvenience for drivers, but the cold is downright dangerous for people sleeping on the streets, which is why Santa Clara County is opening up libraries as warming centers. John, who is homeless, says the unsheltered need to have a place to go.
You can't leave them sleeping under bridges and in bushes because they're going to die.
A winter snowstorm due to hit the Midwest will also usher in frigid temperatures. Online retailer eBay has agreed to pay a $3 million fine to resolve criminal charges filed by feds over employees who harassed a Massachusetts couple by sending live spiders, cockroaches, and other disturbing items to their home. The employees already were prosecuted in the scheme to intimidate a couple after they produced an online newsletter that upset eBay executives with its coverage. This is CBS News.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. That's progressive.com.
Meet Ingrid, fiery spirit, caring grandma, proud trucker.
I've logged more than 4 million miles in my truck. If people knew what I know, lives could be saved. I was driving outside of Ohio when a gentleman stopped suddenly in front of me. But it takes my 80,000-pound truck 200 yards to stop. I'd given myself extra room, but it's not a chance worth taking.
It's our roads. It's our safety.
Visit www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks need a win. They've lost 4 of their last 5 games. Tonight, they host the Boston Celtics. The two teams have been battling for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. NFL, the Green Bay Packers had a long practice this afternoon, but veteran defensive back Jaire Alexander hurt again in practice yesterday, twisting his ankle, stepping on someone else's foot during a jog-through practice. He's day-to-day going into Sunday's game against the Cowboys in Dallas. In New England, the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, announcing that after 24 years, Bill Belichick stepping down as head coach.
It's a very emotional day for the organization. You know, the end of an era that'll be hard to be replicated, I think, at least in my lifetime, if ever.
Belichick making this statement.
You know, think about the Patriots and I'll always be a Patriot, but at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's former Patriots head coach Bill Belichick with Sports on Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Patchy freezing drizzle and flurries tonight, a low in the upper teens. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. It's 24 right now.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it being made, but some of it was made in the last 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to start with that one. Case wrapped up, the Letitia James case in New York against Donald Trump and two of his children, Don Jr. and Eric. Ivanka was let out, not because she was innocent, but because what she had done in the fraud was outside of the statute of limitations. This closing argument, Trump wanted to give the closing argument or part of it. Judge said he couldn't do it because he said, I'll let you give the closing argument or part of it if you'll agree you're not going to give a campaign speech and say things that are contrary to what's the evidence in the record. He wouldn't agree to that. So the judge said, all right, you're not going to do it. So his lawyers gave the closing argument, went over all the evidence and all that. But then Trump, they asked leave for Trump to address the court for about 5 minutes. And he spouted off in the usual campaign speech about how corrupt the whole thing was. Letitia James did it. She was out to get him. He's innocent and all this. And finally, they talked over each other. Engoron, the judge, and Trump. At one point, the judge said, control your client to the lawyers. Of course, they can't control the guy. This is why he was not permitted to give the full closing statement, which is probably to his benefit, because when a layman, a non-lawyer, tries to do anything in court, they screw it up badly. I've never seen anybody do a good job. But here are some of the lowlights. And now the case is in the hands of Judge Engoron. One of the things that Trump complained about, he gave a press conference afterwards. I watched the press conference. It just got over a few minutes ago. And then he took some questions, and the questions were tough, and then he finally waved them off and walked away. But Judge Engoron is the guy that's going to have to decide how much, if anything, Trump owes for the fraud. And the first thing Trump said in the press conference afterwards is that basically he was badly treated because he wanted a jury trial and they denied him one. That is categorically false. Under New York law, he had a right to a jury trial. Letitia James asked for a jury trial. They asked Donald Trump, do you want a jury trial? And he said no. What he did was there was a deadline, and he wouldn't say anything. Then afterwards, he started the bench trial. They call it a bench trial when only the judge is the finder of fact. Difference between a bench trial and a jury trial. In a jury trial, you'll have 12 jurors. In some federal cases, you'll only have 6 jurors. Some cases in Milwaukee, you'll have 14 jurors because they want 2 spares in case somebody has COVID at the end or sick or whatever, and you just plug them in. They've heard the evidence. But there's 2 parts to a case, findings of fact and conclusions of law. The conclusions of law are always for the judge. Juries cannot opine on that. But findings of fact, if there's a jury, are for the jury. So it might be, was the light red or green when so-and-so went through it in a car accident case, or in this case, are the documents that you looked at in the testimony, do they show fraud on the part of Mr. Trump or not? Trump waived his jury trial. Why did he do that? There's a lot of reasons to do it. In this case, I think he made a mistake in doing it. I'm certain it was his idea. His lawyers probably told him they want a jury. But I think he thought that basically, because he's a big shot, a businessman, that basically because, well, heck, he lied about the valuation of his assets, overstated them by a couple of $1 billion with a B, which got him much lower interest rates and all of that. He could do whatever he wanted. And but a jury saw things like his apartment on Fifth Avenue is 10,000 square feet. Now, a 10,000 square foot apartment is a big apartment. I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in Milwaukee or in Manhattan. But he said it was worth 30,000 square feet. And it was worth $300 and some odd million. Now, a 30,000 square foot apartment would be a whole floor and maybe more than that, maybe 2 floors. And it was false. But by doing that, what he did was he got lower interest rates because the way banks work, lenders, if you borrow $1 million and you have assets worth $100 million, you get a lower interest rate because they know if you default, you have assets they can go against. If you borrow $1 million, and they'd be crazy to do this, and you only have $1 million in assets or maybe less, probably wouldn't get the loan. But if you did, they want a very high interest rate because if you default, they're not going to get paid. They're not going to get paid. During the subprime meltdown back, how many years ago? 15, 16 years ago. Some of these lenders were lending to people who were unemployed, lending them $800,000 to buy a house, and they were unemployed and had no assets. That was one reason the M&I Bank basically went under, or it had to be sold, because they did things like that. Well, in this case, a 30,000 square foot apartment worth $300 some odd million got him a lower interest rate. And by doing this in many, many different properties, he saved $168 million in interest. And that's fraud. That's fraud. The banks, the lenders, had a right to more interest than he paid. And that's just one example of the fraud. Anyway, Letitia James initially sought $250 million. She goosed it up to $370 million after the evidence came in. Today, there was a bomb threat against Judge Engoron at his home. A bomb threat. One of the Trump supporters called in a bomb threat trying to disrupt the proceedings today. And this is not the only time this kind of thing has happened. Ever since Trump reared his ugly head in politics, there have been a series of bomb threats, actual threats, people showing up with guns when there was the Mar-a-Lago search warrant, and he attacked the FBI a couple of years ago. A nut with a gun went to attack the FBI offices with a gun in Cincinnati, Ohio. There are death threats, bomb threats, swatting it's called, and just death threats to poll workers, to healthcare workers, to during the pandemic. Anything that Trump criticizes in his code, that they're deranged, that they're unfair, that they're dishonest, they're corrupt, they get bomb threats. And that's what he does. It turns out that Judge Engoron, that it was a swatting. There was no bomb, but he had to be given more security today, and it took a lot longer to get the lawyers and spectators through security. You know, there's typically a machine like at the airport, but for something like this, there's a lot more. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. The judge is being asked to shut Trump down and not be able to do business in New York for at least 5 years, and other kinds of remedies, forfeit anywhere from $250 to $370 million, put some of his properties in receivership so he can't scam them, he can't convey them to somebody in his family, and then get out of town. Now, here's the deal on that. At the press conference, it was a whining press conference. Trump, it was a pure campaign event. He said that he was being set upon, that Joe Biden was doing it, that he did nothing wrong, that there was no fraud in any of the documents, that he'd been denied a right to a jury trial. All that's false. All of that is false. Michael Cohen testified that when the financials were drawn up, Trump would look at them and tell both Michael Cohen and the CFO, Alan Weisselberg, to just change the numbers. Because the lenders that he talked to said, well, you're going to get, you get 5% rate if you have this, but you'll have 7 or 8% if you have that. He said, make it the 5%. And they did stupid things. You know, for instance, saying he has a 30,000 square foot apartment and Mar-a-Lago is being down in Florida, is being valued at many hundreds of millions of dollars over what it is. And they just did it. They just, in effect, white it out. They don't have to white out. They just give it to a secretary, and the secretary then just reprints it with the different figures. That is fraud. In fact, that's criminal fraud. In this case, I do not know why there wasn't a criminal case brought. It could have been brought by Alvin Bragg, the DA. He chickened out early on. He did finally bring one fraud suit against Trump. But Letitia James, by the time she got to it, I'm sure maybe the statute of limitations had expired on a criminal case, and so she went ahead and did it this way. I don't know what's going to happen. Judge Engoron is going to decide at some point, and we think in January, which gives him about 2 more weeks. And judges somewhat make up their minds as they hear the evidence, but they keep an open mind until they hear the summations, the closing arguments. I've given many closing arguments. I've never been convinced that that won the case, but sometimes it's the icing on the cake that gets the verdict that you want. And I'll tell you, in this particular case, Letitia James, the great lawyers there. Great lawyers. Engoron is an honest guy. And I'm not one who thinks that because Trump insulted him, attacked him, he fined Trump $15,000 for blowing off the gag order and all that, attacked his clerk, that somehow he's going to screw Trump. I don't think that's true. I personally think he may bend over backwards not to, but he's already found that Trump committed fraud on summary judgment. That's no longer an issue in the case. And so going forward, what's going to happen is he's going to issue something. I think that he's going to issue a financial amount and an injunction about doing business, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as people think. Okay, coming up, they're trying to recall Robin Voss. Why might they not be able to?
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell them that God's gonna cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down, tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, CarMex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwig created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Madison Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, some people are trying to recall Robin Voss, and I'm not shedding any tears, but I don't know if they've looked at the statute books recently. Remember one thing. On a recall, unlike, say, an impeachment, where it's the state Senate that's going to impeach someone, where it can only be for criminality, criminal conduct in office, or they've committed a crime. A recall can be for any reason. The recall is the citizens, the voters. And the head of it could get up and say, I don't like his looks. Or they could have a racist motive. They can, whatever they want, if they get the signatures and then there's a recall election. Now, in this particular case, Robin Voss is someone whom I have attack frequently on this show. He is responsible, in my judgment, for the cancer causing chemicals in the water throughout the state. He's responsible for the attacks on higher education in the state, the UW system. But having said that, here is the basis for the recall, and here is the impediment. The crowd that's doing it, those of you who live around his district in southeast Wisconsin, so you watch Milwaukee TV, and it may have been on Madison too, I'm not sure. But there is a shadowy group that didn't disclose who's giving the money that put on a lot of ads and then a lot of print ads in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel saying that because Voss wouldn't impeach Megan Wolf, he's got to be recalled. And they say, call Voss, tell him to impeach Megan Wolf. Wolf. Megan Wolf. And then they'd had a very unflattering picture of her. Anybody can take an unflattering picture. You and I and anybody else. So that's the way they do it. Anyway, they're now going through with it. And the ostensible reason, the reason given by the clowns that are behind this thing, are that he refused to impeach Megan Wolf. And number two, that he's opposed to Trump. I'm not kidding. That's what they said. Opposed to Trump. So he would not permit an impeachment vote to go to the assembly on Megan Wolf. And he did it not because he agrees with me or he's a good guy. He did it because not every Republican would have voted for it, but it would have passed because they're gerrymandered. But the poll showed, and Megan Wolf's team put up such a good job, and by team, I mean some donors to the Democratic Party that put on quite a bit of advertising, that Republican voters didn't like it. He would have hurt the party by doing it. And these clowns, and the donors, I think at least one of them's out of state, if not more, nevertheless say, okay, we're going to get rid of Robin Voss. Remember, they try to get rid of him. Trump tried to get rid of him before. And they had this no-name guy, 29-year-old guy, who, as far as I can see, has never accomplished anything in his life, ran, and he almost beat Voss. He almost beat him, remember? It was like a point and a half. 29-year-old guy with no experience running against the speaker. So in this one, what's going to happen? Well, first of all, Voss put out some word. I've not double-checked it, but he said they have to come up with 7,000 signatures by April. Well, 7,000 signatures by April, and it can only be in that assembly district. It can't be statewide. Is a heck of a lot of signatures. But there's a better argument that Voss had, and that is this. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled that those lines are invalid. Those assembly district lines are invalid, and they have to be corrected. And there's a process. The legislature is trying to come up with I know what they're doing. They're trying to pretend they're doing something that's compliant and still keeps the gerrymander. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court wasn't born yesterday, and they're going to see through that. Then it goes to two experts. One of them has a history in the past. He's a professor from California of drawing lines that are slightly favorable to Democrats. And the other one has a history in the past. He's a professor in New York that draws lines slightly favorable to Republicans. And they're given very strict conditions. So there's not a lot of wiggle room. We're going to come up with new maps. So if Voss is smart, what he will say is, you can't recall me because you don't know what district to circulate the signatures in. And if you do, I'm going to attack them. So you can't recall me until there is a new district that I'm in. And then you have to assume I'm going to run for re-election, and I am. And that'll be for that district, probably. You see what I mean? In other words, these people are the gang that couldn't shoot straight. These people who would say, slap leather, partner, and then they'd shoot their toes off. These are not the brightest bulbs on the tree. But whatever, let's suppose it goes forward. Well, you know, there are these conservative and liberal legal firms in the state. Rick Essenberg is the guy at one of the conservative ones. He came out against this. Everybody else has no brief for Robin Voss. They don't want Robin Voss, but they certainly don't want the clown that ran against Robin Voss and came within a point of beating him. You know, it's not like a Democrat's going to beat him. And when there is redistricting, and when the gerrymander, the foot of the gerrymander is taken off the neck of that district, it still may very well be slightly Republican. There's plenty of reasons not to vote for Robin Voss. I wouldn't in that district. But you got to run a good Democratic candidate as a head on his shoulders, her shoulders, and does a good job. So there you have it. Robin Voss right now subject to a recall petition on its face for saying that he's opposed to Trump. And I have no idea whether it's true. He sucked up to Trump enough. He appointed Gableman to spend $3 million of your money and my money going around the state pretending to look for fraud to appease Trump. I think he's plenty compliant to Trump. Plenty compliant to Trump. But they don't think he's compliant enough, apparently. Okay, fine. And he wouldn't impeach Megan Wolf. In other words, he wouldn't even let it go to the floor. That's because he knows that the Republicans who vote for that are going to get hurt in the election for doing it, because all the polls have shown that Republicans themselves don't like it. I was at a luncheon with a bunch of people, and there was a guy sitting not too far away from me who's a conservative Republican. And the issue came up. He said, I don't like it. He said, this Janet Protasiewicz, this was back when it started, hasn't even taken the bench. Hasn't done anything. It takes fraudulent activity in office or conviction on a criminal offense, and that isn't here. You can't just impeach people because they beat you in an election, end quote. This is a Republican. So he didn't go that route. But these out-of-state donors, and I think I know very well who it is, and you probably do too. I don't know if it's this Richard Eline, but the guy pumps money in here like it's going out of style. Anyway, don't get me started on this. I don't think Voss is getting impeached or recalled or anything else. But there you have it. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and Republican chaos in the House of Representatives.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. The U.S. and U.K. have launched airstrikes on Yemen Houthi rebels. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland.
It's a very significant strike in that the United States is now moving towards deterrence by punishment, and this may create a horizontal escalation, which could cause this to move into a wider regional conflict.
President Biden's son, Hunter, pleaded not guilty to federal tax charges. CBS's Erica Brown.
He did not seem flustered at all. Obviously, we don't know what's going on in his mind, but on the outward, he appeared to be calm and in control.
Former President Donald Trump spoke in court as his New York civil fraud trial wraps up.
They don't have any facts. They don't have any evidence against us. Millions and millions of pages, years of litigation, and all politically motivated.
And breaking right now, the Naval Air Force confirms a Navy helicopter entered the water in San Diego Bay. CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu says a plan to create state-run dispensaries for medical marijuana is a non-starter. Assembly Republicans included the dispensaries in their medical marijuana bill released Monday. Lemahieu says it goes against his goal of shrinking state government. He says that he still sees good things in the bill and that a compromise can still be reached. A new report shows that 25 S&P 500 firms with the highest paid CEOs perform worse than average. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company.
Shareholders can vote against CEO pay packages, and some companies have changed their practices. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter storm warnings continue into Saturday. Patchy freezing drizzle and flurries tonight, a low in the upper teens. Then snow showers Friday into Saturday, heavy at times, accumulations 8 to 12 inches. Strong wind gusts above 30 miles an hour will create blowing snow. It's 24 right now.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The Republican caucus is in chaos in the House of Representatives. They basically can afford to lose two votes on anything, or down they go. Remember that Kevin McCarthy resigned, in part, partly out of bitterness, to deny them a vote. George Santos was thrown out. There's a guy in Ohio that resigned to take a job as a president of a small college. So there you have it. They can lose two votes. If they lose three votes, they don't get to 217, which is what they need right now. Here's the deal. They're turning on Mike Johnson. They're turning on Mike Johnson because over the weekend, he cut a deal with Chuck Schumer. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader in the House, went along with it. And it basically funds the government for the end of the upcoming fiscal year, September 30th, 2024, $1.66 trillion with a $69 billion supplement for some social programs that are essential. And it was essentially going by the deal that McCarthy had cut with Biden in the spring. That's how it's done. Joe Biden invited McCarthy to the White House. He said, look, you're the Speaker of the House. Chuck Schumer and I have an idea. Here's what it is. McCarthy pushed back. And what he came up with, quite frankly, was to sort of split it in half. I mean, it does not give any inflation increases. And if inflation's at 3% or 2% or whatever it is, and you keep spending flat, that's a cut because the salaries you're paying are gone up. Paper goes up. Furniture goes up. Fuel goes up. Everything goes up. Okay. Everybody thought that was hunky-dory. But, you know, you have these hardcore right-wing nuts. Now, there are a lot of Republicans I respect. I respect Adam Kinzinger, Liz Cheney. I respect people who sit down and negotiate in good faith and stick to the Constitution. I respected Mitt Romney for voting to convict Donald Trump on two impeachments, the Ukraine impeachment and the insurrection impeachment. But what I don't respect are the fringe, the wild men and women of the Republican Party. Some of the guys look like bounty hunters or bushwhackers. You know, you'd see them in the old kind of cheaper Westerns. They'd have buckskins on, tobacco stained teeth, maybe not all their teeth, gibbering, especially when they're around women and trying to shoot people and that kind of thing. Very, very bad memories of those kinds of bushwhackers and bounty hunters in cheap Westerns. Unfortunately, some of them are in the Republican Party in Congress. So yeah, who do you got? You got Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert. You got Paul Gosar, Mo Brooks, I should say. You have Biggs, Arizona. You have people. You have Good. What a name. This guy is not good, but his name is Good. From Virginia, Scott Perry and all that. They sit like assassins on the sideline, ready to shoot down whatever would benefit America. The Senate, you have Tuberville, who hates the military, never served in the military, shoots his mouth off, says it's a bureaucracy. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. You have Rand Paul. You have these kinds of folks. Anyway, in the Congress, there is a thing, if the Speaker decides to put a bill on the floor, there is a vote called a rule vote. Now, a rule vote is a pro forma vote. It's basically, okay, we're going to send this to the floor. You don't have to like the bill. You don't have to want the bill. You could be opposed to the bill. But typically, everybody in the majority party, and so that's the Speaker that's putting the bill on the floor, says, okay, the rules vote, it goes to the floor, and then you can do whatever you want. Here are the statistics. From 1995 to 2022, 27 years, a rules vote only lost 8 times. You know, the ultimate legislature might not pass. You might be for it or against. But the rules vote, the pro forma sleepy vote to go to the floor, only lost 8 times. In the whole speakership of Newt Gingrich, he was very controversial. He only lost 6 rule votes. Under the speakership of Hester, he only lost 2 rule votes. In the less than a year that McCarthy was speaker, he lost 3 of them. Mike Johnson's only been in since, October? And he's already lost 2 of them. That is because the bushwhackers, the bounty hunters, the gibbering idiots in the buckskins with the tobacco-stained teeth have decided that they will control the Congress, the whole Congress, just by a handful of people, kind of like the Tubervilles are doing in the Senate with unanimous consent in the filibuster. Now, what happened here? The bills that they blocked the rules vote on were unrelated to the financial bill, the deal that Mike Johnson cut. So this is a warning shot over Mike Johnson's bow. But the way this works, and I have a message to my fellow Democrats. I'm kind of peeved at this. The way this works is that typically the majority party passes it, the rules vote, then it goes to the floor, and then it's Katie bar the door. And the minority party all vote against the rules vote. So that's what happened here. So all of the Democrats voted against the rules vote for this unrelated bill. And 12 of these bushwhackers and bounty hunters voted against it too. So there are like 225 votes against it. And that was not, then there was only 205 or so Republicans maybe who voted for it. Now, that is the book on how you do it. But I've got some word for the Democrats. When these financial bills come up, and listen to this real good, vote for the rules vote. Because you're going to have these 12 bushwhackers and a couple of others vote against it. Get it on the floor because we want it. Biden wants it. Schumer wants it. I want it. The Democrats want it. We want it. I don't care what weirdos you have on the flank on the left with you people. Go vote for the rules vote. If you do that, there'll be 200 or so Republicans and over 200 Democrats. It'll be an overwhelming show of force. Then when it's on the floor, you vote for it. You hear? You vote for it. And you'll have 150 Republicans vote for it. And it'll pass with 2/3 of the House. And let me tell you something else. If Mike Johnson sticks to his word and lets this thing, this financial bill to fund the government through the end of the coming fiscal year passes, and he's a stand-up guy and he does it, as weird as he is, lying about having no bank account, weird as he is on social stuff, when some of the bushwhackers try to declare the chair vacant, give him the votes he needs to stay in the speakership. There'll be a new Congress elected this November. With any luck, we're going to win, and there'll be a Democratic speaker, presumably Hakeem Jeffries. But if for any reason there isn't, he has to run again as speaker. And you can deal with it then. But do not screw around. Do not just go to the textbook and go, oh, well, we vote against everything that they want. That's not true. We cannot have that. We absolutely cannot permit that this time. You did that with McCarthy. I don't blame you, because McCarthy shot his mouth off and was untrustworthy and looked untrustworthy. But we have got to start controlling this government from the broad mass of people who want to do the right thing. And that's about 200 Democrats and about 150 Republicans in the House. And it's 51 Democratic senators and independents, and probably another 20, 25 of the rest of them. You can't permit these bushwhackers, these bounty hunters, these fugitives in the Senate from just going, oh, unanimous consent, oh, filibuster, or in the House, oh, the chair's vacant. And we have 10 of these people drooling, saying, no, we don't want any, what? You don't want anybody? Who do you want? They don't want anybody. They want to shut the government down. We cannot permit that. We cannot permit them to shut the government down. See what happens. It's coming up, and it's coming up, and I'm not sure that the only reason Mike Johnson's going to survive is because they can't think of anyone else. They screwed everybody else. They screwed everybody else. We're going to talk about the debate last night coming up, but Chris Christie dropped out of the race. You know that. Everybody knows that. You watched it last night in the evening news. Now, Chris Christie is a guy that if he hadn't done the Bridgegate thing, if he hadn't gotten so full of himself, he was ahead in the polls by 60% against the Democratic nominee for governor. And he goes, well, maybe I'd like 65%. So there are these mayors in northern New Jersey who are Democrats. And he basically extorted them. Said, I want you to support me publicly. And one of them goes, well, you know, look, Chris, you're a great guy. I can't. I'm a Democrat. I'll get screwed. I'll get beaten in a primary. So you know what he does? He shuts down the highway because it's right near this guy's town that goes into New York City. There was an elderly woman in an ambulance who died in the ambulance because she couldn't get to the hospital because of that. People that wanted to get to work in New York City every day couldn't get to work. And he did it out of petulance in Bridgegate, and a couple of his people that did it were convicted and sent to jail briefly until the U.S. Supreme Court overturned their conviction. But they said, he told me to do it, and he denied it. That's not the kind of guy you want as president. However, at the very, very end in this campaign, he sort of quasi-redeemed himself. How did he do that? Well, he was fairly upfront about Trump. He said, you can't have Trump again. Our democracy's in danger. And basically, he went kind of Liz Cheney. He went Adam Kinzinger. And he's probably sincere. But there was no way after Bridgegate that he was going to get elected. And he took a tack. You know, what DeSantis and Haley have done is far sneakier. And I don't like it either. We're going to talk about that debate. But what Christie did is just attack Trump head on and in fairly explicit terms. And I'm glad he did it. It had to be done. I was very, very glad. For instance, in the first debate in Milwaukee, people were asked, raise your hand if you lose this primary, would you support the winner if he was a convicted felon? And that's Trump, of course. They all raised their hands, except Chris Christie. I like that. I like it very much, but that's not enough to elect him president. Now, the question is, who benefits? What is the result of this thing? Well, the polls seem to say in New Hampshire that the beneficiary is Nikki Haley, because people in the polls there were asked, who's your second choice if your guy doesn't make it? And a very large majority of Nikki Haley's people said, Chris Christie. In Iowa, I don't know, except that in Iowa right now, it looks like Haley is about 9 points ahead, 9 points ahead of Ron DeSantis, and that's coming up on Monday. It's also going to be 7 below zero, and I think that it's going to be a very, very chilly set of caucuses. I do not know what's going to happen. I do not know what's going to happen, but what I do know is that Donald Trump is likely to win it. Okay, stepping away quickly, coming up, the debate, the Haley-DeSantis debate, and cheater alert, neither one of them is ready for prime time.
Local. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Mike and Pat, the hosts of the Crash Dummies podcast.
I was born in Nigeria, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was in Nigerian boarding school for like 3 years. It's like a prison sentence. We were trying to prison break our way out of there because they took our passports. So I was trying to like have people send me money so I can find a new passport.
Wait. You were in Nigeria trying to have people send you money?
Yeah, trying to escape.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music. You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Last night, there was a debate. The Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis debate. Chris Christie, of course, had dropped out. He didn't make the debate. Vivek Ramaswamy, I don't know where he is. Probably on the loose, probably on the lam. Not going anywhere. Poor Asa Hutchinson still is prowling around. I don't know where he is, but it's the two of them, Haley and DeSantis, and I'm going to give you my impression of it. First of all, neither of them was presidential. Now, presidential is an intangible, and I understand it and all that, but these were basically two mediocre high school or college debaters accusing each other of lying. By Trump not showing up, which he did on purpose, they basically attacked each other as lying all night long. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you my personal experiences, because I went to the Iowa caucuses to caucus for Hillary Clinton in 2008. And I'm going to tell you my impression. But last night, Nikki Haley thought it would be a good idea. Right in her opening statement, she goes, go to the website DeSantisLies.com. Now, the minute I heard that, and she thought that was quite smarmy and clever and sneaky. The minute I heard that, there's a rule of thumb for anybody who litigates cases, trial lawyers. You almost never use the word lie. You never accuse someone of lying. When you say someone is a liar, that's a bucket of cold water in the face. It's a slap across the face. Only in the rarest circumstances, you could say Vladimir Putin is a liar. Yes, he is. But with most cases, what you do is you sort of look sorrowfully and say, well, what he said isn't so. What he says is contrary to fact. It's contrary to what he said 2 days ago or 2 minutes ago. It's false, even, you can say, or not true. False is also problematic, but it's just not true. And then he must have forgotten that he said something different 2 days ago, that kind of thing. She was sitting there like, you know, liar, liar, your pants are on fire, nose is longer than a telephone wire. You keep on telling me those lies. You know, I mean, that's literally what it was. She talked about DeSantisLies.com, the website, and I haven't gone on it. Of course he lies. So does she. Trump lies in particular. These caucuses are on the 15th. They're on the 15th, this coming Monday, and it's going to be very cold. I think in Milwaukee, it's going to be 7 below 0 Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken. Can't imagine what it is out there, not near Lake Michigan. But in any event, she made some good points. She was strong on Ukraine. I like to see that. She was very, very weak on health care. She was weak on a lot of things. But she came across slightly more reasonable than DeSantis. But tonally, and not only tonally, but everything from immigration to abortion to everything else, she tries to sort of slip slightly around and it doesn't work. But overall, you think of the Lincoln-Douglas debates, you think of the Kennedy-Nixon debates, and I got news for you, the Haley-DeSantis debate was not that. And she came across, frankly, as a lightweight who is just going liar, you know, sort of hunched liar, you know, that kind of thing. DeSantis was worse. Now, DeSantis is a guy who had a real shot at beating Trump. If early on he had just said, look, I'm in Florida, this is what I do, I'm a good governor. Ukraine, we're going to stand with him like Reagan would have, like Eisenhower, like Jack Kennedy would have and did, like everybody in both parties has done. If he'd said that, we're going to beat the Russians, keep them out. He was good on Israel, and she was good on Israel, supporting Israel. But on Ukraine, he is like Trump, subservient to Putin. Wind it down. Don't send him any more supplies. He screwed himself by doing that early on in his campaign. The second thing is by taking on Disney, and he alluded to it again. I have no idea what Disney did that ticked him off, but here's the deal. You could very plausibly say, people say it's the Don't Say Gay bill. Well, what the bill says is in kindergarten, first and second grade, I don't want people going in and talking to people about gender or sexuality, not in kindergarten, first, second grade. That's a very reasonable position. And most people, I think, agree with that. But he goes after Disney for the hell of it. Disney has a lot of good stuff. Kids like Disney, Disney World, that kind of thing. And he came across as clumsy and sincere. And he rattled off a lot of stuff about Florida. Like, we're number one in, you know, I don't know, reading. We're number one in this. He rattled it off like a machine gun. When you go, I'm number one in this, I'm number one in this, I'm number one in this, I'm number one in this. Everybody goes, oh, well, okay. If you're an orator, you go, we are first in the nation in reading. I'm very proud of that. First in the nation in, if it's true, math. I'm very proud of that. They did not come across as presidential, and neither one of them would I want in charge of our military if the Russians decided to test NATO by going in and doing something in Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, any of the Baltic states. Romania, not a Baltic state, but very, very vulnerable to Russia. Moldova, not NATO, very vulnerable. We've got to hold. The Ruskies are genocidal sadists. Not the whole population. There's some good people over there. I spent time in St. Petersburg and in Moscow in 97 during the glasnost. But their leaders are genocidal sadists. And let me tell you this about the Iowa caucus. I went down in 2008, and they had a rule that said you can come in from out of state if you're a Democrat. So I came in, and I was supposed to head up something, and I said, Matt Flynn, former party chairman, they said, get out of here. So I had to kind of lurk around and try to encourage people and couldn't get involved myself. There are no rules. They don't adhere to anything. It's a mob scene down there. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather. And I'll tell you what, Trump admits, quote, doing services for a crooked Chinese bank. You got to listen to this coming up.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on locally grown radio, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR, and on the Civic Media app.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the